Hello and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, a show where there is themes of movies and they have a gimmick of ranking at the end of the month. Today's movie is Glory, a movie starring Matthew Broderick, Cary Elwes, and Denzel Washington. Enjoy.
And then, where the fuck is it? There it is. February 13th, 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time, Big Trouble Little Podcast, episode 273. I'm Joe Dubs.
I'm Andy.
Chaz.
Oh, hello. I'm Zach.
Hello, fellow gamers. all right, so we're in a new theme. We're in Chaz's Denzel Washington Appreciation Month. And we are starting off with the movie Glory, a 1990 film starring Matthew Broderick.
Broderick. 1989.
Ferris Bueller.
Bueller.
as a colonel. Carl, what's it? How do you say the guy name from Men in Tights? I was fucking
up. Ewells?
Yeah.
Ewells.
Yep, Ewells.
Yeah, of course. Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman.
He's the voice of a cat. Nice.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick was also in that Godzilla movie where he said, "That's a lot of fish."
Yeah, and it was a lot of fish.
Yeah.
He went from Ferris Bueller to this movie to Godzilla and to like other movies, obviously. But like, that's like the most known that I like knew him about during that time anyway.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It's because he sucks.
Yes.
Whoa.
Doesn't he run into people with his car?
Everyone has like, oh, this is popular, but I personally don't like it. Matthew Broderick. Like, I really like the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Other than that, I've never liked him ever. Like, he sucked in this movie. He sucks in every movie. I don't know what it is.
I like him in War Games. That's the only one I actually like him in.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? That's okay. Yeah. That one's okay.
So
but it's not good because of him. Like, you could have put an actor better than him in it, and I think it would have elevated.
Yes, I agree.
Tom Cruise. You mean like Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Kid or War Games.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about this movie. I think this movie would have been better if it had Tom Cruise in it.
Oh yeah, Tom Cruise would have been a pretty good. Would have been a pretty good colonel.
Yeah, he would have been more. I don't know. I guess let's get into the ups and downs. Like I could. I think Matthew Broderick was probably the low of this. Like, he was good, but I wouldn't say he's, like, the best in this movie.
I don't like, like I said, I don't like Matthew Broderick, so I kind of, it's unfair for me to immediately be like, he's the worst part, blah, blah, blah.
But I wouldn't say he's the worst.
It's a movie about, you know, a company of colored soldiers. I don't know, that's what they call it. It's about them. Make the movie about them. Why aren't, you know, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, and the other two guys whose names I don't know, Thomas is one of them, and I can't remember the other one, but why aren't they the primary characters? I mean, Matthew Broderick's fine, Cary Elwes is fine, and I like the Irish drill sergeant fine, but why? Like, that's not what the movie's about.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the movie is, like, as based on a true story as it can be. Like, it is based on all the accounts of the letters and journal entries that were collected by Colonel Shaw.
It's based on his letters, but everything else is just made up.
Oh, sure, it is. No, I agree with you. Like, there are focus points on it, but they're focusing. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I think it's that weird mix, and maybe it's the time of the movie was made. But there is this weird balance of if you go too far into one direction to just make it directly about a racial story, than, which it is. I mean, obviously it's a Civil War story, but it, they're also, I think, trying to stick to what actually happened to a point. But I could have done without, like, 20% less Matthew Broderick in this movie would have been fine with me.
Yeah, that's fine.
They killed him really early.
Keep Shaw in it. Have him still. I mean, obviously he's the commander of the company. He's got to be in the movie, but like, keep him there. But I don't need like him talk at this fancy party and talking to his parents and meeting Frederick Douglass and all this other stuff. Like, that didn't really add anything to the movie. It's just he comes home from Antietam, and they're like, "Hey, you should do this," and he's like, "Yeah, I will."
I think well, it's.
I already know what the movie's about.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit of character building for people that are not history buffs, like, I guess, kind of like us a little bit, where they're just like, there's this rich kid, little short kid, even like his own company was like making fun of him and trying to take advantage of him because he's such a dweeb. Like,
yeah, he is. Yeah. I think it was, again, I think there are pieces of that that matter because it shows... Again, it's still showing that distinction of, oh, he's just not just some hero. He's not Cody Rhodes. He didn't save racism. Like, he didn't solve it. You know, like wrestling joke for those that don't get it, but that's fine.
Again, this will air in a month, so
they'll definitely get it.
It's a meme from a couple years ago.
it's a meme from a few years ago. So if you weren't there, it's whatever. Anyway, I got the pop I wanted. Point is, there are elements of the movie that are used to draw on things that happen later. I don't think they do a great job of pulling at that as well. Like they just kind of leave it loosely. But again, I don't know how much of that is really trying to stick hard to like what factually happens versus what's completely just fabricated to be dramatized. Like it's trying to show like he's still trying to like dance around these weird politics, like using his father's power and stuff to still make sure things happen for the right reasons. And then like, of course, the people that are taking advantage of him and his company, which is super screwed up too, like him finding some way around it so they actually get to do what they're supposed to do or what they want to do, which is actually be a part of the war, not just lackeys. I think it serves some purpose. It also serves a purpose in showing there's that talk that he and Denzel Washington have where they discuss, I'm not fighting this for, you know, I'm not fighting this for you. And like, why fight? Like, what's the point of this? Nobody's ever going to win. And he tells him, you know, yeah, you, if you win, great. You get to go back to Boston. You know, live your life. What happens if, you know, what do I get? He's like, well, you get nothing if we lose. So,
yeah, they kind of had like that moment where he's like, yeah, that kind of stinks. And he's like, yep.
Yeah, well, and again, it kind of goes back to the same point. They just died right there. So I think, again, there's a point of it of showing like how this person overcame that adversity to lead, you know, an all-black regiment. And, of course, the tragedy that happens where they just don't take the fort and everything at the end happens. But at the same time, I agree with you to, like, you don't need all of those little weird fluff. Like, there's just as much you could focus on to make us care more about the individual characters within the regiment, other than they're black. So, I mean, like, they do a great job to build on Denzel Washington's character. And then Andre Brower's character, which, rest in peace, the guy was a phenomenal actor. He's the guy that grew
he's
up
Thomas.
With Thomas. Yeah, he grew up with Matthew Broderick's character. But anyway, like, they do a little with him, but not much. And then any other character, they're just there. It's a little more ancillary. But yeah, there could have been more and more focus on just each of those individuals rather than giving Shaw's story. But again, I don't know how much of what pushed the movie to be made. Was it made to portray the regiment? Was it made to portray Shaw's legacy? I don't know. I haven't looked into that really. I don't know the behind the scenes of why it was made.
I think it's. I mean,
both.
I think it's both. Yeah, I think it's like they all. It's gonna sound fucked up on how I say this. It's kind of like Remember the Titans, where it's like this racial division, and they all had to come together to, you know, become a team. And essentially, that's what they had because, you know, the black people were just like, oh, look at these union members; they're treating us just like, you know, the slave owners and stuff. In reality, Matthew Broderick's character essentially was showing them what war is all about. He wasn't being harsh and all that stuff. Maybe a little bit with the whip and stuff. Maybe that little brought back memories and stuff. But like him shooting the gun, telling them to go faster, which that paid off later on in the battle, where he's like, you're under pressure. You gotta reload faster. Boom. He learned that. So I think maybe that did not happen in real life. Maybe there was more, division than anything, where, and they showed it in this film, you know, the union members were calling them N-words this, N-words that. They weren't treating them really well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of accuracy that's happened back then.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the other thing, too. It stood by the end, is knowing that they knowingly knew they were going to all die, or most of them were going to die doing what they did at the end to try to take that fort. And by the end of it, the other regiments around them were finally acknowledging, okay, they're people. They're fighting just like we are. So, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, at that point in time, how many people were actually fighting for the right reasons in the Union, you know? Like, how many people were actually fighting not because they were drafted or conscripted to go and fight, or how many people were fighting just because the money or whatever other reason they were doing it for. They weren't doing it just strictly to fight to defend someone else's rights. Again, that's like after the fact. That's not the primary reason they're doing it.
No one, I mean, I hate to break it to like everyone ever in the history of mankind, but most soldiers are not motivated by something greater than themselves. Most of them just want college money or a job or skills or
it sounds like an adventure.
Get 3 meals. Like,
you're absolutely right. That is that. But what's funny about that is like there are people
that fighting for the Union. You're not fighting to end slavery,
right? No, like most of them were immigrants from other countries that were forced to fight. Otherwise, they had nowhere else to live. But that's a whole different thing. But no, you're right. Like that is just part of being drafted or brought into the military, recruited now because, you know, draft is not really there, but the recruitment part has nothing to do with that. And the ironic part is the people that would fight for, you know, in a specific situation may have the same beliefs as who they're fighting for in this case, you know? So it just is what it is. But, I mean, it does speak to how this battle is also important, despite that Fort Wagner doesn't lead to a victory. It leads to the grounds that right at the end they talk about it, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to Fort Wagner or not. It's a pretty cool place. I'd recommend if you ever go to the South Carolina area. There's Fort Sumter and Fort Wagner you can visit. So anyway, the president decides, okay, this stands as a cause to show, okay, other people are willing to fight. Why can't we allow, you know, these are Americans that are actually fighting for their own freedom in that way. Like there's much more meaning to their fight rather than just any old person that's just drafted that doesn't actually care about it. You know, they're doing it for all those other reasons. And again, it allows so many more people to be brought into the military. And then of course, war is the way it is. So, and I know it's not that black and white, have fun, I'm chow, but
I mean, it's also show like nobody wants to go to war. Period. No one wants to fucking be like, yeah, I'm going on the battlefield. I'm going to go kill other people. They're just like, fuck, I might die. That's always on their brain. So I think, and it, Morgan Freeman, when they're going down south and stuff, I think it was like South Carolina or something like that. And they come up to these black kids and he's like, we're fighting for a cause. You know, we're not slaves anymore. We're fighting with, you know, the North. And stuff. And I think that was kind of like a symbol in a way, they're kind of fighting for their rights, even though they don't essentially get all of it after this war. And it's still, you know, a battle happening today. It was a major step and a symbol for them for fighting for the Union. But all the other guys that just like were fighting, they're just like, fuck. Like Andy said, I'm doing this for, you know, college. I'm doing this for money. Like
I'm not trying to downplay someone's sacrifice in, you know, enlisting or anything. Because that's what's important is they're all volunteers. Everyone in the 54th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that, and that's the difference. The air volunteers. Again, this is a time where you were drafted. You don't get to choose. Basically, if you were an able-bodied male of a certain age in the United States, you were brought in. And you weren't of money where you could avoid it. You were sent to war. Like, that's just how this was. And that was everywhere, right? Like, there was no other country. Like, basically, it was just thought, okay, you're a male. You're not rich. You don't have some status of power. Yeah, you're going to fight. Shit, even in other countries, even if you did have status or power, in order to continue that or keep a legacy, you still fought for the honor of it. So, I mean, it's still there. So, but there's a big difference in the fact. I mean, that's a powerful sentiment whenever Shaw announces to them, this is what we're going up against. They finally get to that last piece of training, and he announces how the Confederacy views any African-Americans that are found fighting or be killed. Anyone that is fighting or leading a regiment of black soldiers will be killed. And he tells them, you know, you can, if you want to be discharged, you can leave. And he comes back and everybody stayed. It just speaks to the power of it. So that's a really cool scene. I think it's a really good movie. I enjoyed it, man. That ending sucks, but it's really, like, we talk about bittersweet endings before the show started. Whew, what, that's rough.
Yeah, I was
all better, no sweet.
Yeah, and yeah, I was telling him, like, the last time I watched this was in high school, and I totally forgot about the ending because it builds up like they're gonna win, like, you know, win everything, and everything's gonna be fine, and then literally they just come up to those Confederate soldiers down in that little area, just shooting them all, you know, and they're dead. Matt, like, Shaw's character, it's kind of like, backtrack a little bit with his character. His character had a abrupt death. Like, they were in that ditch and they're just like, charge, and then he just gets shot and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, it was in slow motion. They kind of make it, like, you know, dramatic and stuff. But then it goes back to when Shaw and Denzel Washington character was talking, and he's like, do you want to pick up the flag? You know, be the color guard holding the flag. And then he ends up doing it after Shaw, you know, dies, and he gets killed, and I'm just like, fuck, everything's happening all at once. And then that's when they all decided they are a unit. They ain't thinking white, they ain't thinking black. They're just like, we have to fucking do this for our regiment, in a way. I do have to admit that final battle, that fort, looked really good in film. Like, when they were having battles, like, in the woods, I'm like, is this how the movie is going to be again? Like, it's just going to be these wood battles where they're just, like, charging with bayonets.
I liked that part. I liked all of the, every time they saw action, I thought that's when the movie really, really shone. I thought it looked really good. If I wasn't, like, a big fan of, like, war movies and the Civil War and stuff like that, like, when they get their rifles, I was like, oh, man, oh, that's too, so cool. Oh, I wish I had one. You know, that kind of thing. But the battles, that was like my favorite part. I was having a good old time, even in the woods.
Mm-hmm. The beginning scene, the first fight, that is just kind of showing off Shaw's character of him leading early on in the war. That scene's kick ass. That's like Civil War reenactment on steroids, right? Like, I thought that scene was really cool. And then, of course, I think my favorite, of course, was the very end in terms of just how it's shot. Like the fort, just them leading to the charge, and then it actually turning into the dusk and showing everything. Yeah, it was pretty great.
It was making me think about how American military tactics went backwards after the Revolutionary War. That's what it was making me think about.
Yeah, all the officer corps, they started getting trained in, like, European style combat, and it's like, why did that ever happen?
We were busy beating them. Well, we basically annoyed them till they gave up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were doing, like, guerrilla tactics and stuff because some people were like, man, this is stupid. We're all lining up and shooting each other, taking turns. And then they just went back to doing that.
Yeah. It's like, if the Continental Army had to fight the British Army, like, in Europe, there's no, they wouldn't have had a snowball's chance in hell. But, you know, because of that huge difference and stuff. But I think it is just all the literature written about how to do war had been, you know, written in Europe up to that point. So when soldiers went to, you know, West Point or wherever, they learned how to soldier. I guess that's what they were taught. You know, you g- get in lines and you go do your thing. And of course, also a lot of that is you get as many guys as you can with these single fire muskets and they all fire at once. And it's just proven that that's the best way to do damage. And then now it's like, okay, well now you've got 50 guys with empty rifles and everyone's got to scramble and do stuff. And you know,
yeah. They also put like all the fucking officers in like one area. And all I kept on thinking, I was like, man, all you have to do is like throw, I don't know, a dynamite when they were on the beach and shit. And like half of their fucking generals and colonels are fucking dead over there.
Yeah, one cannon shot is all I would take.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, I always thought like they were planning stuff like in a fucking, I don't know, building. or at least like miles away from the battle. You just see the fucking cannon.
Oh, you're talking about when they're discussing the... Oh, they're just out of range.
I mean, still, there could be a stray fucking cannon that comes in and takes them out.
Or you could have done guerrilla tactics and made like a suicide squad to go in there and just murder all their commanders. Yeah, but they weren't taught that in the academy, I guess. So can't do that.
Yeah. No such thing as a SEAL Team 6.
Yeah.
I would have been there. I'm going to time travel backwards and made SEAL Team 5.
If I'd been running things, I'd have been Benghazi in that fort.
Yeah. Trying to think what else to say about this film.
What's wrong with Matthew Broderick?
What's wrong?
Great question.
A lot of stuff. No,
because like, okay, so like, I didn't expect all this guff against him because I was just like, hey, he was okay. Like, I don't really have strong feelings for him or against him.
That's just me. I don't like. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and I'm always like, man, why is he just so? He feels like you take Ferris Bueller and you make him half as interesting, and that's every Matthew Broderick character to me.
Damn.
I'm not like, fuck that guy. If I ever see him in the street, I'm going to break his nose. It's nothing like that. Like, he's fine. It's just, I don't know. I feel like he was one of the weakest parts of this movie. And also then I think about Godzilla and some other stuff.
Yeah.
I actually liked this movie a lot. I could see myself watching this movie again.
Oh yeah, but this movie is great. No, I think you're right. If this analogy sticks, you tell me. Matthew Broderick is the acting in general, as Russell Brand is the comedy. That stick for anybody? Like,
no, I don't watch Russell Brand.
I don't remember who that is. He's that British guy, has a long curly hair, and he just has really wacky stuff. It's fine, but like I think he's really mid in what he's in. I'm kind of like you, like it always feels like, oh man, someone else could have just done this way better. He doesn't seem like he has a lot of enthusiasm or charisma. Like he's just doing the motion.
I just wish they would have done something like get the absolute best B actor, get Bill Pullman to be Robert Shaw, and then have the movie based on Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, and all of them, and just have him, he's Yules. There. He's like, oh, we're gonna do this all this. Yeah, just have Cary Elwes do it. Fuck it, who cares? Cary Elwes
could have been Robert Shaw.
Cary Elwes actually like stole the show in a few scenes. Like, well, I like Cary Elwes a lot better.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he's a bit of a bitch sometimes. Like, should've as far as like discipline and stuff goes,
Mel Brooks.
I still like him.
No, I was gonna say though, it's funny because I never really think about Matthew Broderick that much. And then Andy was like doing his thing about him. It kind of reminds me of like when my mom talks about Tom Cruise, like she doesn't like any of his movies, doesn't like him or anything like that.
See, my wife feels that way about Matt Damon. She hates Matt Damon, but she's like, I just don't like his face and he's a fucking weasel. And I'm like, well, that's some strong stuff, but he's a good actor. And half the time, like, he's supposed to be a weasel. Like, he plays a weasel really well.
He is always the weasel. That's a good point.
Sometimes,
but like, I was actually,
if you hate an actor, that shows they're great. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's supposed to be that way.
I was sitting there thinking about like his like filmography, and I'm like, what's he really known for? It's Ferris Bueller, it's War Games. I guess it's this movie.
Let's see. God damn it, I forgot. He's really good as Leo Bloom in the Producers remake. That's the kind of role that he is good for. Like, where he's supposed to be like pathetic.
Silly. Yeah, silly comedy. Yeah.
I thought most people didn't like that remake, though.
Really?
I think it's pretty good. Will Ferrell in that movie is pretty good. He's not.
Yeah.
He's,
no, Will Ferrell as the Nazi guy, he kills it.
Like, yeah.
Here we are. We're getting off on a tangent now. I mean, it's okay. I can't hold a candle to the original, but it's good. It's worth seeing once.
Yeah, but I was just like, you know, he's not really got like that many big movies he was in.
He's in the
Cable Guy. Games,
Ferris Bueller. I don't.
Remember, yeah, I forgot he's in the Cable Guy, but Jim Carrey like steals the show. Like, yeah, I think it's the thing. Matthew Broderick is a better supporting actor than he is like a main actor. I think that's the bigger thing. Is like he's not as good in a leading role, in my opinion. Like he does better if he's just there to support whatever's going on, or if someone else steals the show. But I don't know. It is what it is. He's just there. Like I'm kind of with Andy. Like, I don't hate him. I'm just like, eh. I do agree. He was the weakest link in the movie for me because he just feels like he has no charisma. He's not Paul Roma, but man, he's not much better.
The Paul Roma of movies.
They're finally a reference you guys get. I don't know who the fuck Russell Brand is, but Paul Roma, fuck that guy.
I don't know that guy either.
Yeah, it's fine, Andy. You don't need to know him.
We call it. But Denzel Washington, since this is his month in theme, I think outshined everybody in this movie, even Morgan Freeman, because Morgan Freeman's there. He does a great job, but Denzel Washington had better character building where I was just like, all these guys, like, I understand the context and stuff, but he's like this big asshole guy, like calling Thomas a snowflake.
They needed a lot more of him. Like, it was very ill-defined. And then half of the soldier characters, you just get their stories sang to you in the last act of the movie. They literally sing, this is my story. I ran away and I had a hard time and I left my family behind. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, couldn't you have told me that in, I don't know, a film?
There is some irony to that, right? That this film is all about people being treated like subhumans and being a part of a war to gain their own freedom to be treated as humans. And they're relegated to a very specific scene in the movie to give their entire character background as a person. It's a little fucked up, but again, it is what you can do. White people.
Kind of like that scene, though.
I think it's a good scene. I think what he's saying though is that you could have also fleshed out those things separately and still had a scene that was impactful. Because again, think about how many people that didn't also give their story. You could have had that for lesser characters, and then had
other characters do it, or it could have been one more piece of them telling their story.
I agree.
It could have been one of like half a dozen character building scenes. Instead, it's just that one scene where you find out why he has a chip on his shoulder, or why Morgan Freeman did
so. I'm just curious because Doves had mentioned he'd seen this. Had anyone else seen this movie before?
No,
I too saw it in high school.
Okay, I'd never watched this movie. It's a high school history movie, apparently. But I'd never seen it. I feel like this movie, along with others, it's going to help cement the actual theme, which, again, we're doing Denzel Appreciation Month, but I think the real theme is Denzel Washington is, like, the epitome of, like, in all flavors, he just plays, like, the angry black man so well. That's a racist thing to say, but I don't mean it in that way. Like, it's a compliment, but like, he plays that character in the setting of someone who is just very angry for whatever reason, regardless of race, but then if it is related to that, like he has like so much spite over one thing, and every movie we watch, he is going to play that role. He's very angry or bitter about something.
Whenever I think about him, I always think about Training Day. I think that's my favorite. Oh, Denzel Washington.
God, you got shit on me. I'm not gonna lie. It took everything in me not to put that on the list. I'm not sure if you guys watched it or not.
I might watch it anyway, just for extra credit.
That's our tombstone, because I'm on the same page. I love that movie. That movie's great.
You shot me in the ass, you mother.
But no, like this movie, like every movie we're gonna watch, is a very different take on that similar role. Like how his character has dealt with that adversity, how he's dealt with anger in his life, and he's went very different directions. Like again, the next movie is a tonal shift; it's very different. The movie after that, Man on Fire, is just a trip. I can't wait till we watch that. But
I've never seen that movie. That's
You know exactly. I'm not even saying it's good. I can't wait to talk about it because that movie is divisive to say the least. That movie goes really far in the direction it goes in. It doubles down. But
it is a very quiet torrent of violence. Like, it seems like, I don't know, just the way the movie goes. Whatever, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, we'll get
It's very much like, wait, what's happening? Like, someone should be shouting, but no one's shouting.
Oh, yeah. No, that movie is very tense. We're going to get there, though. But this was a great movie to start with. I mean, I don't know if there's too much more to say about it. I enjoyed the score of the movie. Like, the music within the movie was good.
Horner, right? James Horner did the soundtrack. He did a great job.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, overall, very good movie. Aged very well, I think. We already kind of talked about that with how the pieces look. I think this movie holds up. I enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah, just in general.
There's no CG in it. They actually got reenactors, and they actually did stuff. And they actually fired cannons, and they actually blew stuff up. Good job.
Yeah, they kind of don't, like... Again, I know it's not fully accurate, but like they also don't like sugarcoat things. Like how I mentioned before about Union, you know, saying the N word and stuff. Like when you ever watch like other movies or people that talk about the Union, they always talk about these angels and stuff. Like, oh, they're so great. And I'm like, not really. I mean, they were still being bad. Some of them actually had slaves themselves and all that stuff. So like. I do appreciate that they throw that in the film to kind of be like, hey, everybody was the fucking asshole. But the Union was fighting for a good cause. The other thing I wanted to bring up where you said like Denzel plays an angry guy. And Morgan Freeman kind of puts him in his place a little bit, like almost like a father figure.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that's one of the best scenes of the movie, but we can't quote any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. We absolutely can't.
And we're moving on. No, it is a great scene. Yeah, he checks him basically. He's like, "Why be so hateful? Like, you can have all that hate. Like, what's it going to get you? Like, it doesn't get you anywhere." If only he could talk to Denzel Washington's character in Man on Fire. But anyway, we're going to get there.
Now you got me intrigued because now I want to see what this is all about. Oh, man.
I don't even want to take away from the next movie because the next movie is going to be. No, we're not even getting the Man on Fire yet. The next movie is going to be awesome. So, yeah.
I mean, this is going to be kind of like because a lot of people are very hateful on both sides these days. But I really do like the message that like Morgan Freeman was like saying to Denzel, be like, yo, you got all that hate. You got to stop doing all that hate. We all need to come together in some fashion or way. And do that. And I think that's how Morgan Freeman and Denzel Washington themselves think of stuff. I mean, there's clips of Morgan Freeman talking to one of the journalists and they were talking about Black History Month. And he's like, Morgan Freeman's like, I don't want that. And he's like, what are you? He's like, I'm a Jew. And he's like, do you want a Jewish month? No. I do like that the message is we all need to come together at some point. And that's what I felt was being portrayed in this movie. Also, by showing the glory and bravery that these guys did at the end.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, in that specific setting, these were men that volunteered when they didn't have to. And furthermore, like, especially in that last battle, knew they were effectively facing imminent death. It wasn't even there's a chance you might die. Like, there was a small chance you were coming out alive and yet still faced it because they knew what the stakes were. And And again, they didn't get to see what they caused, but that led to a ripple effect that effectively changed the tide in the war. Like, if that battle doesn't happen, like, the Civil War may go differently, or at least may last a lot longer. Like, Reconstruction could have taken a lot longer. There's a lot more damage that could have been done. Like, being able to have almost 200,000 more soldiers available to fight for that cause made a big difference.
I think what kind of grinds my gears a little bit is, like, there is some people, I'm not saying a lot of people, there is, like, a minority of people that will probably think that the ending of sending this black regiment first in the Battle of the Fort is to use them as cannon fodder. Like, that's
they make a point to show that Shaw volunteers.
I know, but these people, dumb brain, smooth brains, will probably think that way. Like, maybe that is what the generals thought. Like, let's send these guys in first before our white soldiers and all that stuff. That could be a possibility. But I know people on the internet these days, that's how they would think with this movie. That's just me. And just to put more hate on Matthew Broderick, when he tries to act tough, especially with that like merchant guy, I'm like, ooh, look at this little baby. Yeah.
This little, yeah. Little that baby. Scene should have been one of the best parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, see, imagine like, if Cary Elwes did it. It would have been good.
Yes. I think he would have been like really smarmy about it, and I would have enjoyed that very much.
I would have just liked him to have just had a sword, and he would have just reenacted his role as in the Princess Bride, but that's just me.
And then, like, that. When he's, like, upset at the Christmas dinner table, he just gets up and, like, stares at him and walks away. I'm like, let's fucking say something back to them. Call him a fucking asshole. Like, you're a colonel, motherfucker. What is he going to do? Man, why, you don't get fucking jam? That Myrtle jam that he was talking about? Fuck off. It's actually raspberry. Oh, yeah, raspberry.
Actually, it was blueberry.
Blueberry. I remember thinking, Union soldiers with blueberry jam. That checks out.
Yeah.
Them bluebellies.
That drill sergeant, though, Chaz has the quote right there when Thomas was... you know, it looked like he was having an asthma attack, and and then all of a sudden, Shaw goes like, "Aren't you being too hard on him?" And he's like, "You grew up with him, right?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Let him grow up some more. You guys are friends, right? He says, "We grew up together."
He says "Let him grow up some more."
Yeah.
So that is interesting thing to see, because that toes a really hairy line between, okay, how much of this is coming off as like, oh, he do that to white soldiers, like is it just pure racism? How much of it is truly I'm getting them ready for the harshness of what war is?
Yes.
I got a weird analogy. I know it's not quite the same, but it in a way it is. Something I got to experience, unfortunately, but it happened, is when people have surgeries, they don't realize this, but surgeons, especially old school attendings, they are fucking savages to residents and medical students. I mean, we're talking brutal, like get in your face, will yell at you, scream as you're actively cutting on another person. And they're doing that because they're trying to put you in a situation of pressure without creating the true life or death situation. It seems fucked up, but there's a method to the madness. It doesn't make it right, but that is how they train for literally decades, if not centuries. Like, you're just brutal to each other because whenever it comes to it, you want that person to be able to do their job as smooth as possible under the most intense pressure, which makes sense because I don't want someone doing open heart surgery on me and that person can't handle pressure and they just let me die because they fucked up a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, do I want that person's mental health to be like completely destabilized because they need to know how to do their job a little better? So it's like a weird balance. Like, so it was very relatable when I saw it. And I was like, I can see people watch that and think, oh, that guy's just being a racist dick. But it's also, it's just like the scene with Shaw shooting the gun to like say, oh, yeah, you can do this when there's no pressure. Can you do this when someone's aiming the gun back at you?
Yeah.
Another comparison would be actual drill sergeants are actually that big of an asshole.
Like, oh, they 100% are. And again,
it's just the way it is.
Well, it is. And I mean, there's stories about those things getting pushed too far, but there are also ways where, okay, even in the tamest situation, you need to do things. You can't just send a bunch of squibs out to shoot guns and run drones or whatever. Like, you have to be ready to handle pressure. If you can't handle pressure, your ass will get cooked. Like, it's true.
And also, like, my dad always says this because he, you know, served in the Navy and everything. He's like, when you're in boot camp and they're breaking your mind, because when they say duck, you better fucking duck. You shouldn't question things. You should under pressure, you should act, not, you know, hesitate, because hesitate, you die. And I, again, you know, maybe a person today will look at this and be like, well, I need to see, you know, a scene with a white guy getting the same treatment. And like, no, I'm pretty sure that's how the
fucking basic training movie.
I know, but we're talking about smooth brains here.
Like, watch fucking Full Metal Jacket.
I get it. I mean, he's like, and I bet they tried to eat their horses. I bet they're not even vegan.
Smooth brain disease cases have gone up in the last decade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not wrong. I mean, I'm sure there's also people that watch this and were like, well, that ain't right. I thought they killed all them Negroes. I thought the South was going to win. Like, some stupid shit like that. I literally saw someone the other day wearing a full fucking Confederate flag sweatsuit, and I'm like, the balls on that guy to walk around
wearing that. Did they have a mullet?
I didn't know, but he had like some broccoli hair up in the front. I'm pretty sure it rained down.
Oh,
in the back.
No. You can't wear that if you don't at least have a mullet.
Well, he had the hood up. I couldn't see it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. If he's got broccoli hair, he's not going to have a mullet. That's just
is not true. If you've never seen the broccoli mullet. I call it the broccoli waterfall. I've seen it a handful of times. It's something to see. They do the broccoli thing up here, but the back it still kind of like curls but runs down enough. It's a very weird hairstyle. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's like Andrew Tate and Billy Ray Cyrus had a baby, and that baby's really racist. So take it for what it is. But yeah, it's a fucked up haircut. I don't know why everybody would wear it, but more so, he was wearing the full Confederate flag thing. And I was like, that's.
I just got a flashback of Billy Ray Cyrus in one of those David Lynch movies we saw.
Oh yeah, Mulholland Drive. He's the guy that's fucking his wife. Oh, yeah. The director's wife. He just said, "Man, wild. You need to let this go, man."
All right. Well, final thoughts in this movie, because I think it's pretty straightforward. It almost has like that military montage thing, even though there was no montage where they, you know, get the training and stuff. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. It's Chaz, a great movie. I recommend it. I think everybody should watch it. It's a great movie. It's one of those movies that if you go to Florida, they probably would ban it from schools, but people should watch it. So,
I recommend it. I love Denzel Washington, one of my favorite actors, along with Morgan Freeman. So I highly recommend it. Matthew Broderick, probably not. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's a really good movie. Just watch it for what it is and enjoy the message it's trying to give you. Don't do what I did and like nitpick and look. Like after I watched the movie, I looked up a bunch of stuff about how accurate it was because I just wanted to know, and it's not. Like, they changed really dumb things, too. But it doesn't matter. Just watch the movie and enjoy it for what it is. Because it's a well-made movie. It's well-acted, for the most part. It's got a great soundtrack. You know, it's fun. It's a good movie. Watch it.
Zach, what about you?
I like it because Matthew Broderick is one of my top five favorite actors. No. I wish he was in it more. No. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I hadn't seen it since high school, like Dubs was saying. I'm trying to remember when I watched it too. I think it was ninth grade.
I think I remember a time like after I graduated high school, it was like on HBO, and then I remember the ending and I'm like, I don't want to be sad. And then I stopped watching.
I don't want to be sad.
But yeah. So that is Glory. Chaz, what's the next movie?
The next movie we are watching is The Hurricane.
That's the boxing movie, right?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's based on a book, which is also wonderful, that I'd highly recommend. So it's going to be good to read it. What's funny is other movies we're watching, the only one I haven't watched was Glory. So all these other movies I've watched. So, and for better or worse, we're going to get through them all. So
IMDb even says, if you liked Glory, try these. Blah, 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 blah. The Hurricane.
Yeah.
One of them's Courage Under Fire. Now, that's a good fucking Denzel Washington movie right there.
Yeah, that's another one.
Great. Yeah. You'd be surprised looking at IMDb to seeing how, like, the actual scores for Denzel Washington movies. It actually kind of blew my mind what movies are rated up or down, or, like, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes or other stuff. It's like, I know it's wildly different, right? But it kind of made me really puzzled to see where certain movies line up, like what I like in his films. But anyway, I digress. We're gonna watch The Hurricane. Check it out. And if you really want to get into it, watch the read the book too. But do that later.
All right. Before we get into host credit scene, let's get this ad.
Wrestling nerds, wrestling weebs, wrestling fans. If you're looking for a different kind of podcast, one that goes over actual big wrestling news, I mean real stories, not somebody getting divorced or baseless rumors or whatnot, and get some color, we got that. We also do reviews of wrestling from the past, but sometimes we also do wrestling from the modern day too, if it's something that interests us at the time. Other than that, I would say the main attraction is just three guys who have been lifelong wrestling fans doing what wrestling fans do. Cutting up, cracking jokes, and just enjoying the entertainment wrestling can provide. However that comes. If you want to catch Getting Some Color, you can catch it bi-weekly on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, usually.
That might change, by the way, the Thursdays usually.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah, we might be canceled by then anyway, with the last show that we had. Oh, boy. We went crazy.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Yeah. No, we didn't go that far. I guess, Chaz, since you're up first, let's hit you.
Yeah, actually, it works out anyway, because I didn't do a whole lot. Yeah, so I actually had to work a really lengthy shift. I just came off of working my fourth in a row, and it was like 5 and 6, and then I only have one more day off, and then I work another day where I get like a little stretch. But let me see if I can find my little thing here. As far as stuff I watched, I mean, I don't want to get too much into wrestling stuff. We talked a little bit about this on our Getting Some Color episode related to the WrestleMania presser that happened and all the stuff has changed there. But I have watched like the following shows after, you know, with SmackDown and then the Raw that recently happened. I thought they were pretty good overall. Still just watching Unluck Undead one at a time as it comes out. It's been good. I played a little Overwatch 2, but not a whole lot. I think I literally just like one night I got to play a little bit casually.
Did you hear about season 9?
Yes, yes. I heard about the breakdown and the
like, they're
the
nerfing projectiles. Fuck off with that shit. Hanzo's going to be fucking hard to play now.
You said they're nerfing what?
They're nerfing projectiles.
You know, I mean, that's fine with me. I play a tank that absorbs all projectiles and then has infinite bullets, and then I can throw a 3-point shot bomb and kill people, so it doesn't affect me.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, so I haven't looked too much into like how they're completely reworking the ranking, but I heard that's also like they're changing comp up a little bit. But it's interesting. But whatever, I don't care. I'm just playing it whenever I have free time for fun. But
yeah,
I don't want to hate myself anymore.
yeah,
I did the night after our last episode, I actually streamed some Pokemon online. I finally made the jump over to the online account, like the Pokemon TCG Live. I'd already migrated stuff, but I just never actually played any. So I put some decks together, streamed a little bit, had some fun. Actually got a decent number of viewers watching at one point. Like, it was kind of fun. It was like a very brief moment. I had double digits. I was like, whoa, people are watching this. And then I realized, I think it's all people I know. So thanks for having friends, I guess.
I rated you, and you didn't even, I didn't get a pop out of it. I was like, what the fuck? I've never done this before. I thought it'd be cool.
You don't have alerts. He used StreamYard, by the way. I saw that he was using
it. Yeah, I almost guarantee I just didn't get an alert on it, or I was so deep in concentration that I missed it, so I'm sorry. But thank you for that. But anyway, I did go play some paper Pokemon as well, which was fun. There's actually a challenge near me this upcoming Friday, which I'm going to play in, so it'll be exciting. I did watch the regional championship, which was in Dortmund, Germany. And the deck that I play, which is not necessarily the best deck, but it's just my favorite deck because I'm all about them water types. My old Blastoise Rain Dance deck. I tried to watch
some of it, but it was in between. It was in between rounds, and they were just talking to some guy, and I couldn't have been more bored.
Oh yeah, that type of stuff is kind of boring.
Then I forgot to tune back in.
Yeah, but it was fun though. But the Chin Pao Baxcalibur deck. So those are basically the Baxcalibur card has the old Rain Dance effect where you can put as many water energy on your Pokemon. That's the deck that ended up winning the whole event, which is really cool because that deck hasn't won an event yet. So that's exciting to see. And now everyone's gonna think I'm some like bandwagon poser. I'm like, no, I have this deck all blinged out. I've been playing this since day one, baby. But
day one ish.
That's right. Sorry. I'm probably gonna play it. I may audible because I've been playing a lot of Gardevoir. Actually, I have the Gardevoir card in front of me. It's this little bad boy there for just for you boys to see. But
this is my Pokemon waifu.
Yeah, yeah. I have a body pillow. It's anatomically correct. I got weird. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah, the Dortmund thing was really fun to watch, but I agree. Like, that stuff in between is so boring.
Yeah.
In all fairness, I had one done for me, like, when I did really well at an event, and I was playing that deck where you basically play the card that says all Pokemon will lose their abilities, and so you just automatically put that down, and then you're playing the Pokemon Jesus, you're playing Arceus, so you can get whatever cards you want, and then you put that other card down, and your opponents can't do anything, basically. So, well, they interviewed me for it to say, oh, why did you pick this deck? I was like, well, I haven't slept, so I don't want to think. So I play this deck that doesn't allow my opponent to think either, and then I just win.
Leveling the playing field.
And the only thing they broadcasted it wasn't entertaining because I was just a dick about it. I was like, well, I just don't want to play, and I don't want my opponents to play either. So that's really all I've done, though. I may have watched something, but I honestly don't remember. I've just worked my ass off. I've seen like 100. I think after today, it's like 180 patients or something over a 4-day span. I'm exhausted. So, yeah. I mean, people, if you haven't gotten it, get your fucking flu shot. Jesus.
It's almost too late.
Yeah, it's true.
They're going to get shipped back in like a month.
Yeah. You know what? Just stay inside. Like, I don't know. Wash your hands. Stop licking assholes or something.
Keep your fingers out of your face, for God's sake.
Stop going to the doctor because you got a flu.
Yeah, Chaz.
Stop being a bitch.
Chaz, stop.
I mean, for real.
Dealing with patients and you won't get sick.
I'm sick. Did you try fucking resting and taking medicine first?
Drinking water and not doing meth? I don't know.
I coughed on Tuesday. I think I'm sick.
Just drink a whole bottle of whiskey.
I'll tell you what, if we're on that track, just if I have my extra 2 seconds to get on that soapbox, like, can you please pick the moderate time to come in? Like, if you've been sick with fever that doesn't respond to medicine for like 1 or 2 days, please come in. Because if you wait until it's been 4 or 5 days, I can't treat you anymore. And if you come in within 2 hours, we're likely not going to accurately test you. And then we can't treat you either. Also, they'll let your kids sit on a couch for, like, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 days with high fevers and terrible body aches, and then bring them in when their heart it feels like it's exploding. Because we will, if you're going to do that, just go to the ER, because that's where we're going to send you.
Too late for Tamiflu. Get out.
Too late for Tamiflu. You need Jesus at that point. Call the chaplain. Go to.
You need Christ.
Is this the Geek Squad?
Is that Christ? Does that come in liquid form, or is it only pill?
Is that flavored? I want it to be flavored.
Can you crush those up in like a mortar and pestle for me so I can take it?
Yeah, it takes like
those questions, Andy. Do people like, do you get those questions? Like, is it what flavor is it?
Yes, all the time. He won't take it if it's not flavored. I don't fucking care.
You pluck a hair out of your beard.
Take it, leave.
Can you please start plucking a hair out of your beard and putting it in whatever you're mixing and saying it's flavored now with my own special blend.
No, everything is flavored from the factory now. Quit fucking asking. You sound like an idiot.
Yeah. Actually, if you want a tip to get people to stop doing that, because I know the same people will come back and keep asking you, those little Mio droppers that you put in water, you put one or two of them some bitches in something to take, I don't care how bitter it is. That shit covers it the fuck up.
Yeah, so or you can pay to have the pharmacy do it. We have a bunch of bottles with stuff in them.
Yeah, well, if you guys want the business and you want all that extra effort, you can just tell people to do it. Well, then tell people. You're not going to lose anything.
I would tell them, do you want your kid to die? Then take it.
I always tell them, just hit up aisle 10. That's liquor.
Yeah, if a kid comes in the office and they won't take it, I'm like, listen, you got to take this by mouth. There's two other ways we can do this. I can stick it in the other end, or I can give you a shot. Usually that works. That they usually open their mouth and say, I'll take it. And then I give them a Frosty for being a good boy or girl. And then they're better. We have coupons for Frosties. It's actually kind of nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to play both sides.
I'm coming there tomorrow. I'm gonna be like, I'm sick.
If I see you come in tomorrow, I'm like, he only gets rectal swabs and suppositories.
Joke's on you. I'm into that shit.
Okay, last minute. Someone came in for rectal pain, and they were like, I don't know
what you're in the ass.
See? So they were like, I don't know if I should see the adult or the pediatric provider, and they were like, they've had rectal pain for 2 days, and then someone else was like, well, I'm butthurt about the Chiefs winning too, but you don't see me crying about it. Fucking hard. That was pretty good.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Well, I guess I'll go. Speaking of the Chiefs, I did watch the Super Bowl. Don't remember the overtime, but they won. I drank too much whiskey, had too much wings, and kind of fell asleep on the couch. And
why are you always watching stuff and drinking? You don't remember the end of it.
That's true. But I didn't want to know the end of the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Taylor Swift won.
Oh, they can't. Well, I know they won. She got the winning touchdown.
It's all work anyway. I can't believe people still believe in that shit.
The deep state programmed that. They said, "Oh, it's gonna be all Taylor Swift's boyfriend's gonna win the Super Bowl. Oh my God, it's gonna be fucking magical."
You know, football's been work for like years.
You know, Andy Reid kind of looks. Andy Reid is the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. He kind of looks like Wilford Brimley, the diabetes guy.
Yeah, I've seen the memes of him getting yelled at.
His nickname is the Walrus. He looks a lot like a walrus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy in that commercial where that dude paints the field and he spelled the Chiefs wrong. He spelled chefs.
What? Is that real?
That's real. A commercial. And he got hungry. Now that part I made up.
He didn't eat his Snickers. And then he came up there and he's like, "Good job. But who are the chefs?" He just walks away.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. And then I won't go into, because we did talk about it and get some color about the press conference. And if you last episode for Big Trouble fans, it's a work. That's all you need to know. And I'm back.
They'll know. They will have already known by the time they hear it.
It's not a work. Cody's a hero and The Rock's an asshole.
Yes.
He's going to pay.
We still don't know what's going to happen, but I like where it's going. I'll just say
that.
Is it
going to be like 2-on-2, or is it going to be like a...
I think it's going to be... I think Rock is going to have to, you know, take the decision that happened, and it's going to be Cody versus Roman, but Roman's going to have Rock in his corner, and then Cody's going to have Seth Rollins in his corner. Mm. And I think there's either A, to put ahead the storyline for The Rock and Roman, maybe The Rock turns on Roman somehow, or at least stops Solo and Jimmy Uso for interrupting the match. And that's how we get but that's just me fantasy booking. They could totally take it to a whole new level and none of that shit happens. But I digress. I could literally talk about this for 2 hours and I know Andy doesn't want that. and also our fans that are not wrestling fans, probably, most likely. What do you call it? I played Enshrouded. Have you heard about that game?
No.
Never heard of it.
Enshrouded is, have you ever heard of the game Valheim?
No.
No.
Chaz has. Valheim is like it's a survival game. And you get to build bases and go out on missions.
Oh, like Power World.
Yeah, except for no. Except there's no fucking Pokemon. Sorry.
The moment Dub said that, he was going to jump into like Power World. Like, no, Power World's going to die. Have you guys seen that whole thing about the guy that made all the Relaxosaurus? I bred 1,800 Relaxosaurus so I could kill Power World. Anyway, it's a good video. You should check it out.
Yeah, Enshrouded is kind of like medieval fucking Valheim, pretty much. I only played a little bit because now my game is crashing and it's annoying. So I got off of that and played NHL 24.
That'll calm you down.
That's bullshit. We got to play some Overwatch, buddy. We got to get you out of that funk. I'm sorry you had to go back to the old hockey stick simulator.
Well, I went there because I have to practice for the tournament that's coming on. NHL is actually doing a tournament. And if I get up to the final stages, which I'll probably not, but if I did, I get to win like $150,000. That's the prize. So
I was hoping you'd get to go to training camp for like a real ass team or
something. Yeah, that'd be funny.
The NHL based on a real story. Real story,
that's right.
It just goes back, like they do like a history montage thing, and it goes back to Big Trouble with Me, like cursing, like these fucking people, man, with the glitch goals and all that shit, and then
stupid Pokemon card shit.
Trying to think what else. I watched a bunch of stuff about this CIA gateway tapes bullshit. So apparently, it is on the CIA website. that they have these like meditation tapes that unlocks your mind and expanding into different dimensions and stuff. Again, CIA actually has this on their website. Of the
CIA has a ton of bullshit on their website.
Yeah. And I've been watching a bunch of YouTube the YouTubers being like, yeah, man, it's real. It unlocks, you know, you can manifestation things. Like this guy wanted women coming up to him, so he got women coming up to him. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? And then I watched Wendigoon talk about Blood Meridian. I had to fucking look at the book.
Cormac McCarthy book?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like a 5-hour video. So, yeah, that's all I've done. I'm trying to think. I watched
Andy. Did you watch a movie?
Oh,
remember yeah. You saying you watched Dune and you passed out or something?
Oh, yeah, I watched Dune. Yeah, I watched Dune with my dad and I drank like
the sleeper is supposed to awaken, Dubs.
Which yeah, Dune, though?
Yeah.
The new one, right? Two?
No, I watched part one because part two is coming out soon.
Oh, I thought it was.
He didn't watch the good one, the David Lynch one.
Yeah, and thank you for reminding me. I also played Silent Hill, the short story on my brother's PS5. So I was like intrigued because he's like, hey, it's pretty good. And I'm like, I don't know. Nothing that comes out of Silent Hill these days is not good. So I played
nothing it. Nothing has come out of Silent Hill these days.
Yeah, that is true. It has some tough trauma in the game.
Tough trauma.
There's a lot of PT loops in there as well. But I enjoyed the story. There's actually a lot of Easter eggs in there as well, like Silent Hill 4, The Room. It has a lot of fucking Easter eggs for that for some strange reason.
Some people really like that game.
I think that's because that game is not literally in the city, right?
The room? I mean, it is, but you're trapped in an apartment.
Yeah, that's right. But it, wasn't it kind of like on the outskirts of the town, though?
No, it's in like a neighboring town. It's like some other town that's like probably 20 minutes away or some shit.
Yeah.
That concept interests me so much. I've always been really, really curious about that game.
It's an interesting game.
It's an interesting game. I think it holds up. I never got to finish it. I started playing it and I stopped. Not because it's bad. I just didn't have time and I just stopped. I should get back to it.
I know that feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I liked the game. I thought it was good. It's only a 2-hour game, so you can get it done within a day if you have time. And it's based in Germany, by the way, which I thought was weird. Because they're trying to do this thing like Silent Hill is everywhere. It's not just in this town anymore.
Yeah.
Zach, you don't like that, it seems.
I don't really care for that take as much. But like I said in the chat we all have before, I understand why it's like this because of all these new projects they did with like little indie devs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all supposed to be like their own take on it. So it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, out of the four, two is always going to be my favorite. But again, it's like you said in the chat, it's hard to replicate, or they do copy that, but like fall short in some way. But I do like Silent Hill being like a construct or a, you know, a thing in your head. Pretty much when you get depressed, you go to Silent Hill.
I like the one where the dog did it.
That's Silent Hill 2. That's also the only one that everybody likes to try to do.
Yeah, because I don't know, maybe people don't like the whole cult thing. I like the cult thing. I do think it ran its course, but some people want it to still be part of the story.
People don't understand that without the cult thing, Silent Hill 2 can't even happen. That's what everybody doesn't get.
Yeah. But other than that, that's all I've done. I fell asleep watching Dune. I fell asleep watching Super Bowl. And I played Enshrouded that I kept on glitching. And then Went to NHL 24.
We need you to fall asleep playing NHL 24. That's the next one.
Okay, I'll try to make that happen.
Work on it, yeah.
I mean, I've used the bathroom during an NHL 24 where, like, I'm in an online bed. I'm like, oh, God, I got to go.
He's in there like this explosive diarrhea, just like, fucking glitch goals. Shitting his brains out. Let him have it, Dubs.
Yeah, but other than that, that's all I've done. Andy, what about you?
I played a little bit more Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. I'm past the first gym, and I'm having some fun, I guess. I don't know. There's something about it. It's not grabbing me like some of the more recent ones have. I'm going to stick with it. I think part of it is I just I'm trying to resist the urge to, like, metagame the whole thing and, like, look up which Pokemon are available and which routes and, like, what I should do here and there. I'm just trying to do it organically, and just all the Pokemon I've been running into just suck out loud. So I guess partially it's my fault. I don't know.
If it helps, it's a hot take. And actually, someone that reviewed that game and then brought it up, and their hot take was that Gen 4 is actually one of the worst generations of game. Like, it's remembered fondly for all the wrong reasons, and there are some cool Pokemon in some pieces, but as an actual structural game to come back to and play, it just sucks ass.
It, like, seems too much like they wanted to be like in every Pokemon game, they're like, oh, this area just has birds, but also they're like electric birds. And this area has you know, rats, but they're also like fire rats. But in Diamond and Pearl, it seems like there's rats, but they're just rats. There's birds, but they're just birds. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't fucking, it's boring. It's, well, Pokemon. I want them to be interesting.
The game also has weird, like, difficulty spikes at random times. Throughout the game, which, again, just out of nowhere, it's like, oh, that just, like, is really, like, hard out of nowhere, and I don't know where
I'm supposed to get things.
There's also weird, obscure ways to get Pokemon, but they aren't well explained, and, like, so the bigger problem, too, and this is what a lot of people have with that, the problem with the game, is that how they've done remakes in the past, the things they've updated, and, like, the quality of life changes they've made, like, for instance, Fire Red, as opposed to the original games, or Soul Silver and Heart Gold to versus Silver and Gold. Like, the changes they've made in the game are so dramatic that the way they stand up, it really helps. There's really not that much quality of life to change in that game, especially with what they did with Switch, because they just did a visual upgrade. They didn't do these huge dramatic changes. It's got to play. A lot of people just say, oh, if you want to play the game, just play the original one. It holds up a little better.
I don't have access to that one.
But that's the problem, man. You'll have access, and then people are like, oh, it sucks.
Like, I got this one for Christmas, too, so whatever. But yeah, it already gave me, like, one cup check, because after the first gym, your rival is like, hey, let's fight. And up until that point, I had, like, steamrolled everyone. I was like, yeah, bring it on, bitch. And then, like, he just about got me. I was like, what the hell? Like, out of nowhere. Like, the game's like, you better be fucking ready for the rest of this game. So I don't know.
It's, I was livid. Now, I'm my tryhard self. The very first time I played the game, not much further than where you're at. I think it's shortly after the second gym. I got shit rolled and had to restart my Nuzlocke because I just got beat. And then the next time I played through it, I got all the way to Cynthia at the very end of the game, and literally killed all of her Pokemon, or KO'd all of her Pokemon.
Except the Garchomp.
The fucking Garchomp, White Knight, entire team.
Even I'm aware of that Garchomp's legs.
That Garchomp can suck my balls. Fuck the
Garchomp. It's like the most feared Pokemon in the whole goddamn series.
It really is. Like, fuck that one fucking Garchomp in particular. That guy sucks so bad that when I played Arceus and I saw a wild Garchomp, I was like, fuck that Garchomp. I was so mad at that Garchomp because I was like, if in the weird, like, canon that Cynthia has that one and time traveled for it, I just would kill that one too.
I think part of the indication of the way I'm feeling about the game so far is in all the most recent Pokemons I've played, if I catch a Pokemon and I like it, I know it's going to be my team, I always give them a nickname. I always name them after a movie character, an actor, a director, or musician, or something like that. That's funny to me. The only Pokemon I've nicknamed so far has been my starter. It's the only one I've cared about. The rest of them are all just, you know, Starvia, Bidoof, who the fuck cares? But whatever. I'm still sticking with it though. It's just it's not as fun as the other ones. It's still Pokemon. Pokemon is still Pokemon. It's fun enough. Right before we started recording, I finished Star Trek Voyager Elite Force. That game owns. It is a lot of fun. It's a nice short 6 to 7 hours. It's basically Half-Life, but with Star Trek paint on it. The only thing I don't like about some of the AI is a little like it just kind of comes to where you are and then tries to bang, 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 bang. Or there's a bunch of enemies in it that don't have guns and they just run up on you all the time. And it just kind of sucks that there's no AI for the enemies so much. And there's a couple boss fights that are a little like, oh, that's it. But other than that, I mean, the game's really cool. And yeah, it is all the original voices. Everyone did their own voices for it. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. Wish listed on GOG or something. And when it goes on sale, pick it up 100%. It's a lot of fun. And I was feeling real Star Trek-y, and I needed to just watch something I didn't have to pay 100% attention to. So I watched Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. And you remember how I said I needed something I didn't want to pay 100% attention to? I paid 100%
attention to it. It's
stupid. I fucking love that movie.
You chose the best movie, and you're just like, I'm not going to watch it.
100%. I know. I should have chose like something else. It's just,
the first one.
It was. It's on Max for some reason. I was like, okay, cool. Star Trek. All right. And man, that's such a cool movie. There's so many things about it. I just like I shouldn't like, but I do. One of my favorite like dumb movie facts is how Khan and Kirk are never in the same place throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not once do they share space. Never, and yet they're still like having this intense battle the entire movie. It's great.
I think Search for Spock was the same thing, right?
What do you mean?
Well, Khan dies in two. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like him and the Christopher Lloyd Klingon Lloyd.
Yeah,
Krug. What's his name? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's Krug.
Yeah.
You spoiled it. I didn't know Khan died.
Oh well.
Wait, haven't you seen Wrath of Khan?
No.
I thought you had. I thought you watched it with me like 1,000 years ago. It feels like. Maybe it was something else.
It might have been something else. I don't think we did.
Oh, but. Yeah, I mean, the main villain is defeated at the end of the movie, yes.
I figured he would be anyway.
No, I mean, if you haven't watched it, then I can't wait for you to watch the movie. It's so good. I can't wait for you to watch the first one. I really want to know what you think about it.
Yeah, I want you to see the whales movie, too.
Voyage Home. That's yeah. The fourth one? Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to watch them all.
Yeah, they're good, mostly. Five sucks, but it's like five has a few of those qualities that's like so bad it's good, so it's okay. It's a fun. I mean, we reviewed them on this very show. Go back and listen to Dubs and I talk about them. Everyone listening to this podcast,
which by the way, talking about old school shows, on the Super Bowl they had the trailer for the new Planet of the Apes movie.
And yeah, I'm like, man, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, fuck, now we got to do that whole list again.
That's right.
Oh no, another one.
I saw the trailer online and I almost sent it to you and I was like, oh, I'm sure he saw it. But yeah. I'm real excited. Like I was thinking about it. It's kind of a sunken cost thing now. Like from where you and I suffered through all the like middling old movies, it's like, well, I've got to see every Planet of the Apes until I die now. Like I'm in this deep. I'm gonna keep going. Oh, but it looks really good too. So
you talk about a franchise that revived itself and just became so good.
Yeah, and like against all odds too, because like not only did it revive itself, but before that it tried to revive itself and fell flat on its face.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So that franchise has overcome the odds to Mark become Wahlberg. One of my personal favorites. Like just because of, I mean, it's really good, but also its connection to this show. Like that's where we finally found our formula, our ranking formula.
Our gimmick. Which by the way, if we ever did like a rerun ranking stuff, because now since we have Chaz and what do you call it? Zach. Sorry.
The other John Utah.
My name's right there.
What do you call it?
Yeah. Sorry.
Are you going to fall asleep while we record this show?
No. Maybe I'm getting goodness. Old, man. Maybe
that sounds like it. Jeez.
Yeah. And become like Bruce Willis.
But yeah, we could watch all those again. I think that'd be fun. Because when we watched them originally, the box set was on sale on Amazon, so I just own them all now. Except for the... oh, no, I think the box set includes the Tim Burton one. If it does, then I own.
Oh no!
It's just it's in there with everything else. So whatever. And yeah. then I had to buy the most recent one or two or something on Blu-ray.
Three of them. Cheap.
Well, the box set's weird because it's like all of the original series, the Tim Burton one, and like just the first of the new ones. Because at the time, that's all that existed. And then right. they released the other new ones, and I had to buy those separately. It's kind of like my James Bond box set has everything up through the first like two Daniel Craig movies, and then I've had to just buy everything after it, that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm excited about that as well.
Cool. Anything else?
Nah, that's it. A bunch of Star Trek stuff, a little Pokemon stuff. I opened some cards too. I got some cool stuff, but nothing worth talking about.
Cool. All right, Johnny Utah.
Well, let's see. I learned how to surf.
in Utah.
That's your physical therapy, learning to surf.
that might help. Hydrotherapy. No, watched some movies. I watched Point Break. I never saw it before. It was good. It was very, very early 90s action.
Okay, movie. Watching Keanu Reeves one.
Okay. No, I'm not going to watch that remake. Like, after I got done watching it, too, I'm like, why would they try to remake this movie? Like, you can't.
Well, they're remaking Twister for some fucking reason.
It's called Twisters now. Yeah. I like that they're going with the alien naming convention for the sequel to Twister. It, like, implies that, like, the tornado itself is a monster. Like, Predator or alien. That's fucking funny. That's
Twister, funny. Revenge.
If they can play that up, if they can find a way to be like, no, this Twister has stalked them or something like that, then that movie will be boss.
Multiple Twisters. There's going to be more than one. But Point Break was pretty cool, though. I enjoyed it. I also watched The Black Cauldron.
All right, shout.
That was a cool movie.
I like that one.
I know about how it was like kind of like a black sheep movie for Disney, and it like that was during their time where they weren't doing so hot, and they lost a bunch of money on making that movie. And they basically tried to bury it for a while because of that. They didn't bother to like release it on home video for like a long time and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty good. I found out it's actually based on some Welsh children's stories. They're based on like Welsh mythology. There's like a series of books. The guy that wrote them was even still alive at the time when they made it, and he watched it.
Oh, that's interesting.
His opinion was like, they're pretty good, but it's like a movie. It's different. But, you know, if that encourages people to seek out my books and read them, then that's cool. That was basically his attitude towards it, which is like the right attitude.
That's a good attitude to have.
Agreed. Were the people Welsh in the movie?
No.
Good, because you can't understand a Welsh person.
They were sometimes you can't understand a Scottish person either, to be fair. Yeah. but I have an easier time understanding the Welsh than the Scottish.
That is true. But especially like, that one movie that we saw with the
Under the Skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few people I flat out could not understand some of them, but yeah, I had turned subtitles on for that one. But yeah, it was a pretty good movie though. I enjoyed it. And I also watched A Shivers, David Cronenberg's first real movie in his own words. And that one was all right.
The one in the apartment building?
Yeah, that weird apartment building. I don't really like love it either. I think it's just okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Like, there's just not enough going on. It's like there's not enough. You don't really get any of the characters. It's more just about the body horror of it. Like, part of me was wondering if like what's he doing with this plot? Is he sniping at like swinger culture or something? Like, I didn't understand what he was doing exactly.
It just seemed like a weird plot in service to special effects.
More or less, especially after like I kind of read him like talking about it like in retrospect.
Have you seen really the Brood? Just wanted to.
Not yet. That's I gotta okay. see.
My point is like don't get turned off of Cronenberg from that movie. He gets way better.
Oh, I'm not. I've seen three of them already, counting this one, and I like his stuff. So this was the only one where I was just like, that was just okay. And it wasn't even like negative necessarily. But like hearing him talk about it, it was like he just really wanted to make like a gross like film. And so he did.
And then he did some more and some more.
Yeah, but it was so bad though, because like he got in trouble with like the Canadian government or some shit over that movie, because there was so much like nudity and stuff in it. And, you know, just suggestive scenes. He got kicked out of his apartment because of that.
What?
There was a morality clause in the lease he signed for his apartment, which definitely sounds like something they would do in Canada. Make you sign like morality clauses, and then they kick you out of your fucking apartment.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
I will not film horror-based swinger party movies.
Yeah.
Canada was lame back then too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, not as lame, I guess, but they were definitely lame. There's
now the morality clauses say I will not do blackface.
There was multiple times I watched that movie where I was like, why is nobody calling the police? Like what's going on?
Because then you wouldn't have a movie.
Logical. One of my new favorite sayings since maybe the old Star Trek.
Maybe they had a thing in their head like snitches get stitches and end up in ditches, and they were just like, I ain't calling the cops. I don't know.
Well, some of it is explained a little bit, because like the first scene is like you see like this guy fighting with this girl and he kills her. I'm spoiling it a little bit, but this is like an old movie, and I don't know if you guys will ever watch
it. It's okay. I spoiled Wrath of Khan for you.
Yeah, you did. That's true. So, he kills her, and then like he kills himself, and then like some other guy that lives in the apartment walks into that room, implying like he was having an affair with this woman because he's married.
Oh yeah.
And he walks in there and he finds their bodies and he just leaves and he doesn't contact the police. I'm like, what the fuck? Like somebody else found the bodies.
I remember there being a lot about that movie. I walked away confused about.
But see, it was revealed later the whole time he's obviously been infected like with these parasites and stuff that are in the movie that cause all this crap to happen. They affect people's brains to where they want to spread it and stuff. So it's like, I guess he's not in his right state of mind anyway. Cause he was sitting there laying in the bed later being like, come on, come out of me. Like he was like talking to his parasites. It was like, made me laugh. It was interesting though. Like I wouldn't recommend it unless you're like a big Cronenberg fan or you're like really into like that real schlocky kind of B movie horror stuff.
It was in a collection on the Criterion Channel of like 60s and 70s sci-fi horror, and that's why I watched it. Is I'm into that kind of stuff. But.
Very very schlocky, low budget 70s horror. Yeah. I also played Blasphemous 2, and I've beaten it.
Whoa!
Nice.
You are now you're the most blasphemous of all.
I am. Even got the good ending. That game was.
Is it really hard really to get a good ending in those games?
In the first one, it is a little bit because you have to figure out this thing you need to do through the game, and it's a little bit cryptic.
That sounds like Dark Souls.
Yeah, it kind of is. And they added a third ending later through the free DLC that the game got. Where that's the real ending.
Whoa.
And that requires you to do a bunch of stuff. But in two, it's a little bit more straightforward. It's still a little cryptic. Not as cryptic as the first game is. But yeah. I enjoyed it. It was good. All the music and areas were like really interesting. I feel like overall it's a little less, I don't know if it's just from, you know, you play the first one and there's so much like shocking imagery and fucked upness and the creepy world and everything. It's not, it doesn't feel as much like that. Like it's still there, but it feels like lessened or something. Especially the boss designs and stuff too. They don't feel as like crazy as the first one is. The gameplay's got more variety though, because you've got like three more weapons now instead of just one. And I guess some people complained about that. It's like, I don't know. Everybody still jerks off Symphony of the Night. Now Alucard, all he can do is swing a sword.
But he can take that dagger and go, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking shake him. That's how you win. That's how you really do it.
And I'm not dogging on that game either. I'm just saying you really only have like one method of attack unless you like look up how to do spells. But yeah, it's got some bugs in it too, though. I noticed that still aren't ironed out. Like some of my quests were bugged and I couldn't complete them in the game. And there's like this weird music glitch that really gets on my nerves because the music in the game is really good. Where like you'll enter a new area and then like within seconds, or it's somewhere between 30 seconds and a minute, the music just stops. And the only way you can get it to reset is to leave the area into a different area and come back.
Oh, boo.
And that will fix it, but it's usually you got like a 75% chance of it happening anytime you enter a new area. It's that frequent. It's weird. And there was a bug where I couldn't reach my spirit after I died to get like my resources back, kind of like in Dark Souls. The first game had that issue at the time when it was new, so like that's not really. I expected that to not be there when I played the second game, but it was. It only happened to me one time though. Yeah, I kind of hope later they'll iron these bugs out, and maybe with some DLC and stuff. I'm hoping for some DLC. They kind of leave it open to where like they're probably going to do something. But I still enjoyed it. I think I like the first game a little bit better, even with like all the gameplay improvements and stuff. And that's pretty much everything I did.
Nice.
Nice. You didn't watch any more shows? Because you were like on the show watching spree.
I'm still watching like Star Trek. Like I watch like a couple episodes every other day.
Okay.
That's kind of like all the only show I'm really watching right now. Because I still got some other things that I've left open and haven't gone back to watch. I need to continue.
Mm-hmm.
But that's primarily the show I'm watching right now is the original Star Trek.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's where we'll end it. We got the hurricane next week, and we'll continue more Denzel Washington. So, PP Dubs, take us out. Peace.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Hey, do you want to be in the show? Make sure you email them bigtroublenet@gmail.com. They are also on Twitter @bigtroublenet. You can listen to all their shows on all podcast services. So until next time, catch ya in the next pit stop.